Well, good afternoon, everybody. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Been a few days that I've been online. Apologies, I've just been caught up with a few things. But I'm back, and we have a very, very exciting show today. I have Sue Montgomery in the studio. How are you doing, Sue?
Well, thank you, Darren.
Fantastic. And we're going to be chatting about the power of a coaching conversation. So for everybody out there who doesn't know who Sue is a professional coach with over 12 years experience partnering with organizations, leaders, and teams to leverage potential, purpose, and performance through coaching and teaching the art and science of coaching. So we're going to be chatting all about, you guessed it, coaching and leadership. So Sue, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Now, I mean, it's a fascinating topic, coaching, because it seems to be like one of the fastest growing industries at the moment. Everybody says it's one of the fastest growing industries and everybody's a coach of some sort. But before we jump into that, maybe give us a little bit of a snapshot into who you are, anything that I might not have covered. We'd love to hear more about who Sue is.
Okay, all right. Well, look, I grew up on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. Okay. And when I was 19, I moved to Sydney to experience city life and, you know, forge a career, find a husband, which I did. I was successful at all those things.
Well done.
I ended up in banking and telecommunications, and I, you know, made my way up into leadership roles there. Then I had two gorgeous little girls.
Lovely.
And in 2016, we decided to pack up everything and travel around Australia and took them around, out of school.
Wow.
It was the most wonderful year of our lives.
Wow.
Yeah, and I came back and found myself behind a desk in a corporate suit.
Yep.
And I just wanted to rip it off and get a tattoo and, you know, find some meaningful work.
You're a rebel.
Yeah, I always knew there was something more for me to give in my work.
Yeah.
So, I had an opportunity presented to me to jump into some coach training and become a coach.
Lovely.
So I did it. I said yes. And I had been coached before and I loved it. I did that, and my husband was incredibly supportive of me, leaving full-time work and becoming self-employed. 12 years ago, I made massive mistakes, but here I am 12 years later. I've had some lovely opportunities. I trained with Coaching Australia when I did my training, and they reached out to me in 2011.
Wow.
Me to, to become one of their trainers.
Fantastic.
So I delivered their executive coach certification program, both nationally and internationally. So I've had some lovely opportunities to work internationally.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, I've worked with thousands of leaders one-on-one, which I feel an absolute privilege to have been able to do that. So yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's outstanding. And you know what? Like, I do a little bit of coaching or teaching in different aspects of what I do. And one thing that I love is that you learn so much when you teach. You never stop learning. Like, you're the teacher, but you actually learn so much, in return. It's fascinating.
Absolutely do. Yes, that's right.
Yes. So, I mean, let's jump in, because I want to get into some great Q&A that I've got organized here for you today. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, obviously, the term coaching is very broad. Everybody's a coach. Everybody's a calling themselves a coach. As I mentioned, it's one of the fastest growing industries. What's your take on all that?
Yes. No, it can be so confusing. You're absolutely right. It has been one of the fastest growing industries globally over the last 10 years. So awareness is risen. You know, it's a $15 billion industry now, and projected.
$15 billion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's 88,000 coaches. There's so many coaches out there.
Oh my God.
And I think, as organisations realise the massive ROI on coaching, the awareness is raised, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But look, anyone can call themselves a coach. So we find that business consultants, career counsellors, mentors, they're all calling themselves coaches, which is fine, but it can be confusing for people.
Yeah.
So there is a global industry standard for our coaching,
right,
set down by the International Coach Federation. And the way they define what we do is that we partner with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires people to maximize their personal and professional potential.
Love it. Love it.
So, yeah.
Beautiful. And you know what? Like, I think I'm just thinking out loud here, but I think because everybody's putting more and more emphasis on EQ and the softer skills and that side of things and emotional intelligence, that could be one of the reasons why coaching is really taken off. Would you say that's, is there any connection to that? Or
absolutely, hands yep. down, you are correct.
Yeah.
I think people have lost the art of connecting.
Yep.
You know, in our, the busier our worlds have become and the pressure and the stress,
yep.
competition, we've lost our way with connecting on a human level.
Definitely.
And you know, people call that, you know, all the soft skills, you know, coaching's all the soft skills. I call them essential skills.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, you can train someone to do anything that's, you know, a process-driven task, but you can't train someone as well to do some of that softer stuff. But I suppose you can, because that's what coaches and that's what you do.
Yes, we do. And people that come into our training, it just is like this, their eyes are wide open. They're just, wow, okay. And it's such simple stuff.
Yep.
But we've just lost it along the way.
Kind of just opening up their eyes, opening up awareness and opening up their eyes and changing their perspective in a way to see what they're doing and what they're not Absolutely. Doing.
Well, it's very much about self-reflection
yep.
and self-awareness and looking inward. And even the participants in our coach programs that are learning to be a coach, you see the connections between the participants is really significant. It's different to any other training.
Wow, fantastic.
And we found that even online now, since we've had to go online with our training.
Yep.
We were really concerned about the connection, but we haven't lost it.
That's great. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you obviously work with a lot of business leaders. What do you find as, you know, some of their biggest struggles in terms of how you coach them and why you coach them? What are their biggest challenges at the moment?
Yes. There is a statistic out there, Darren, that says that most people are promoted into a leadership role around 30.
Right, wow.
The first training they get in terms of leadership is at 42.
Oh, no way.
They're winging it, you know, or looking to role models around them, which can be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But the thing that I see the most is communication,
yep.
lack of effective communication,
yep.
not knowing how to communicate in a way that's effective, avoiding conversations that are difficult. We as human beings don't like feeling uncomfortable, so yeah. we will avoid it at all costs,
yep.
Or we just don't do it that well.
Yeah.
So, and also, like, you know, communication, it's a broad thing that I'm saying here is the struggle. But if I define it in a few ways, the first one I see is the clarity, is leaders being able to articulate clearly the purpose, the vision, the roles, the expectations. So people are just, they're not quite sure what the expectation is. And I'll ask leaders that I work with, I say to them, do you know what your expectations are of your people?
Yeah.
And they cannot articulate it to me, mostly. This is general, but mostly.
Wow.
They have to go away and write, and I'll go, I'll write it down and I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
So if they don't know it, how can their people know it? So we're just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, to fail. So there's that. There's also the not being able to provide constructive feedback. In a way that's supportive.
Yep.
I see the end results of that a lot.
Yeah,
diminished, you know, their lack of confidence and all that sort of thing. So I think they need to learn, and this is the thing they come in and learn with coaching, how to do that in a really nice way, in a supportive way,
yep.
Which makes it easier.
Yep.
There's that, and also positive feedback. I mean, a lot of people don't understand the value that has. And I don't mean just, oh, good on you, you're doing a great job, fantastic. I mean genuine, specific feedback don't ever underestimate the power that that has on their self-esteem, their confidence. And I see that all the time as well.
And I, you know, something that I've learned over the years as well is that, like, a lot of people don't even think this way, but whenever you give someone feedback, if there's something constructive to, you know, put across, try and code it with something positive first, and then say, oh, by the way, do this a little bit differently, or here's some constructive feedback about that. But don't just dive into the feedback and the criticism without, you know, positioning it around how fantastic they are already. You know, it's part of the journey of growth. A lot of people don't even think that way.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true. And I've got an example that happened yesterday, actually, to one of my clients who was in tears when she was scheduled to see me. And she'd been in an organisation for 5 years doing an excellent job, so much so that they promoted her. And COVID's happened. One of the roles is no longer there to fill, so she's taken on that extra work. There's been some significant things that have happened that she's in overwhelm and stress. Yeah. So she's not performing to her ability. She's not speaking up because she doesn't see her manager because she's not working in the office. Mm-hmm. And they called her in the other day and said, you're not meeting expectations. You've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to do that. And she's completely deflated, lost her energy.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible.
But what they could have done is got curious.
Exactly.
How are you? You know, we've noticed a difference. How are you going? You know,
I love that.
Yeah.
Such a simple way, a little change in the way that you frame the whole conversation, but it can lead to dramatically different results.
Absolutely. That's right.
Fascinating, you know, and that's the power of EQ and emotional intelligence and, you know, awareness of yourself and other people.
Yes, that's right.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would you say some people are more coachable than others, or can everybody learn these techniques and can everybody make dramatic paths forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. I get asked this a lot, actually. I believe that everyone is if the setting's right.
Right.
So you need to be able to do a compatibility, you know, session. We need to make sure that the coach is the right person for that individual. Yeah. We need to establish trust and safety. There's a lot done up the front end before we actually even start coaching to make sure that that person's willing. So yeah. I would work with somebody that's not willing.
Yep.
May not be ready yet, or I may not be the right person.
Yeah, exactly. So there has to be a synergy, an energy connection between the coach and the person being coached.
Yes, that's right. Look, you know, the people that are difficult are, you know, the people that have, you know, that need it most. Yep. They've got a low level of self-awareness.
Yep.
But it's how you do it. It's how you go about, and that requires a lot of skill in terms, you know, coaching.
Around. But it must be incredibly rewarding as well when you've come out the other side and you see, wow, look what we've done together.
Yes, exactly. It really is. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, organizations are often sending their people through coaching and they're not, you know, they may not be willing or they may be frightened about it. You know, what is this all about?
Yeah.
When people experience it, there's a lot of there's shifts. You know, they fall in love with it, you know.
Awesome. So, Sue, give us a bit more insight into the science and the methodology of coaching, because that's something that's fascinating to me. I mean, we can talk about it in broad terms, but I'd love to hear about the little insights and the little nuances and the sciences of coaching.
Okay. Well, I'm not a scientist, so I'll do my... Okay. So it's a brain-based methodology.
Right.
Okay. And there's a lot of the neuroscience world and coaching world are very, you know, interlinked.
Yep.
There's been studies done in the neuroscience space that really supports the methodology of coaching as being one of the most powerful ways to shift behaviors and beliefs and habits that aren't supporting us.
Gotcha. Yep.
So what we're doing is, I mean, as you know, we know that the brain has the capability to change, but it doesn't like it. It requires hard work and effort. And it requires us to be conscious.
Gotcha.
So we don't like that, right? So what we're doing in coaching is we're asking questions. We're reflecting back what we're hearing so the person can do their own thinking. So what that's doing is firing up the neurons in the brain.
Right.
Okay. And it's when the neurons make those connections that we get the aha.
We get those aha moments.
I've thought about that before. Mm-hmm. We left that. If we left that learning that person had, then we would not be able to change that behavior. So what we've got to do from there is continue to translate that learning into action. Gotcha. in our sessions. But we would be working with somebody for 6, 9 to 12 months.
Yeah.
A long time, because what we want to do is embed sustainable change in that habit.
Gotcha.
What we're doing is getting a person to, so just say they've had that aha moment and they've thought, okay, there's a habit here that isn't supporting me. We've kind of opened up, if you think about it, as a well-worn path.
Yep.
So if you've got an old habit, it's like you've walked down that neural pathway so many times that it's really yep. well-worn path. Yep. But if you never walk down that path again, it closes over. So what we're trying to do is close over that one, and when they've had that aha moment, we want to keep working through that so that they continue to walk down there and it becomes a new habit that's sustainable.
Gotcha. So it's kind of identifying the aha moment, or helping them identify what they've been doing that they could have improved. But once we've identified that, we have to start working around building new neural pathways and a new path, and letting the old one close up so they never return.
That's right. So when they walk out of coaching, that habit should be an unconscious behavior.
Gotcha. And I mean, I've heard in the past, you know, all sorts of different figures around habits. It takes 21 days to form a habit. Some people say it takes 6 months, you know, all this. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think everyone's so unique and individual, and it's all about the learning that happens. That's where the magic of coaching is the learning that happens in those sessions.
Gotcha.
And it's a process for people. You know, we can go back into our old habits. We can come back, you know, and then, so there's no time. I don't think there's any time. I think there's a lot of learning that has to happen. Gotcha. Some people can have a quick change. Some people takes longer.
Gotcha. So it just depends on how strong that aha moment is as well, and how open they are to really making a difference and moving forward.
That's right. How important it is to them. And the coach, I suppose, that's where our work comes in is really stretching them outside their comfort zone, because the longer you hang out there and really get comfortable with being uncomfortable, I think that's a phrase that we hear all the time now,
but
that's what it is, okay, is when you've got your coach in your corner, stretching you, supporting you, then you stay out there longer.
Yeah, because your coach is always pushing you to understand why your existing behaviours are not serving you.
Yes, we do that through questions. So we don't tell, we ask. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So true. I mean, the power of the questions. I've always loved questions, because I think questions can also show incredible insight and intelligence when they're used properly. And you get so much more benefit out of questions than just, you know, telling someone do this and do that.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. If you think about it, when you've had an issue in your life or a problem and you've asked a friend or a parent and said, you should just do this.
Yep.
You've got to go and do that.
Yep.
It just doesn't land right, because we are all unique. And I think coaching really honors that uniqueness.
Yeah.
You know, our childhood experiences, our values, our work ethic, our moral compass, our brains. We know scientifically that no two brains on this earth are the same.
Yep. Very true.
So, yeah. So we can't, if we tell somebody how we would do it, it's not going to land in terms of their learning.
That's right. All they've got to do is go back home, reflect on that in conjunction with everything else that's going on and everything else they've heard, and still make their own decisions. So at the end of the day, you're just helping them make their own decision, but you're giving them the tools to do that.
Yes, that's right. And you make a really nice point there, actually, because it's not just about questions coaching. It's very much just about we're observing.
Yep.
We're observing, you know, emotions, energy shifts, all sorts of things, and naming it, noticing it and naming it. And John Dewey he's done research back in the, you know, he's a philosopher, and he said, we don't learn from our experiences. We learn from reflecting on our experience.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. That is so true. That is so true. That's really great. I love that. Yep. And I suppose there are so many people that just don't reflect at all. That's an issue in itself.
Well, because it's painful. It can be uncomfortable to do that.
Got to be on autopilot, go home, have your dinner, watch TV, do it all again the next day, and you don't want to have to think about it.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. That's so true, right? Yeah. And there's another coach, and I hope if he listens to this, I apologise because I can't remember his name right now, but really stuck with me when he said, if we're willing to feel everything, we can do anything.
That's gold. I like that.
It is, because we don't like to feel uncomfortable, right? We don't like hard feelings. So, yeah.
I'm going to repeat that. If we're willing to feel everything, we can do anything. Is that right?
That's right.
I'm going to use that. I love that.
Yeah, isn't it great?
You have to let me know who actually came up with that.
Yes, I should do that, actually, and crediting.
Fantastic. So, Sue, I mean, if I wanted to get a coach, what should I look for? What should I ask? You know, how should I go through that process of identifying which coach is going to be right for me?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I would be asking where they did their training, when they did their training, how long that training was, because it's an unregulated industry.
Right. Yep.
I'd be asking when the last time they put themselves in professional development. We need to be doing that every year to stay relevant.
Yep, great.
And to also stay certified. I'd be asking if they're certified with the International Coach Federation.
Great.
If they're not offering a free compatibility meeting, that would be a red flag.
That's a red flag for sure. Yep.
And, you know, who their clients are, testimonials, how many hours of coaching they've done, what their approach is like. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And would you say that, you know, a coach necessarily has to have had experience coaching in your area, or a coach is quite general? It's the methodology and the questioning and the inspiration that's more important than the actual, that area of expertise.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't. It's actually more beneficial, I think, if you don't have that bias or come in with that. So we are not the expert in anyone's field. Like, I have coached many people, engineers, CEOs. I don't know how to do their job.
Yep.
So what we provide is process. We provide a structured, strategic environment where we bring our skill set to unpack their thinking.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. I love that. Now, Sue, I love, and the audience loves, case studies or examples or things like that. So maybe can you give us a couple of highlights or a couple of case studies, obviously not mentioning any names, just of how you took, you know, someone through a process and what happened and how, you know, how they felt at the end and what kind of results they've been able to achieve? Because we love to hear stories.
Okay. Well, I'll just do a few different ones from different perspectives. So on an organizational level, so we've had multinational organization who engaged coach training into their organization 7 years ago.
Yep.
So they've had trained up all their leaders over 7 years. And that was, the instigator was that they had a staff engagement score of 18%.
Right.
And 7 years later, it's up to 68%.
Wow.
And they credit that to the fact that their leaders are now using a coaching style.
Wow.
So there's that. I've developed a similar program, Leader as Coach. So I take leaders through a five-month program where they're in real time implementing what they're learning. And they have to actually then present to executive at the end of that 5 months to say what is different as a result. And we've had organisations that have committed to doing that for 5 years. So all their leaders get to experience that.
Wow. And
the professional growth is significant, okay? It's the EQ and the leadership confidence is always significantly improved, but also on a deeper personal level, they get so much out of it. And I've had executives say to me, we just never realised how much we're going to get out of this. Greater than we anticipated.
Absolutely.
So there's that. There's also a senior leadership team. So if we talk about teams where I've gone in and worked with them, they've been quite dysfunctional. They've had history, personality clashes, not working effectively. So we've taught them coaching. They've got a common language. They know how to interact with each other. I've coached them so that they can look inward and take responsibility for the roles they played and what they need to change and do differently. And then a team coaching session where they come together and learn how to have healthy conflict, how to have healthy debate. And they're now a high-performing team in that organisation. They've gone from...
Fantastic.
Yeah. And one last story, if you want me to keep going. I've got one lady who came into coaching. She'd just been promoted into a leadership role. She had a history of workplace bullying. Her confidence wasn't high. Her role expected her to be presenting to people, and she couldn't even speak in a team meeting.
Wow.
And she wanted the desired outcome was that she had the confidence to stand up. At the end of that, she had to speak to 90 people, and she said, I just can't even see myself doing this, but it, you know, yeah. 6 months together, she did it. She enjoyed it. And she came back to me a couple of years later and sent me an email and said she's now on TV doing interviews.
There you go. I love it. You know, and it's so true. It's just, we have to get over that initial hurdle. We have to practice. We have to just believe in ourselves. But getting to that point takes work.
Yeah, that's right. It does.
But one point that you made, I really want to touch on, because it's fascinating, that the fact that when you go through professional coaching and that process of coaching, it also makes you a better person, makes you a better human being. So it must affect your personal life in an incredibly positive way at the same time. Because once you turn on that light, it's turned on in all areas of your life, not just one.
Absolutely.
Would you agree?
I do absolutely agree. Everybody that we hear it all the time, that they're saying they've got better relationships with their partner and their children.
Yep.
For sure. Because what we're teaching them is how to be present in the moment and really listen.
Yep.
And not to have an agenda.
Yep.
To not
get away from their own ego, get away from their own agenda. Yep.
That's right. So and when you talk about the power of a coaching conversation, there's nowhere in the world that you get somebody to sit with you for an hour and a half with no judgment and provide a safe and trusted environment where they absolutely no agenda. We're just listening to you and what's and finding out what's important to you. And we don't get that anywhere else in the world.
No.
So we teach that and people are experiencing that. We do get personal growth for sure.
I love it. I wish someone would pay someone to do that for me. So Sue, tell us a bit more about how you work exactly and how people can connect with you if they want to.
Well, I offer, I'm very flexible actually, but it is all about sustainable change. So I've got a variety of different packages, if you like, depending on what their needs are. So they can do anything from two sessions if they're just wanting, they've got a particular dilemma that they need to unpack, right up to a 12-month program that they work through, significant professional and personal growth.
Perfect. And you can do that face-to-face or via Zoom or whatever means.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I mean, at the moment, it's pretty much Zoom. Even before COVID, we were doing Zoom. I mean, my clients are all over the world, so, it's nothing new to me. But, if people want face-to-face and we can do that.
Great, okay, awesome. And if people want to actually get in touch with you, what's the best website, or you're on LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. I do have a website, but it's been overhauled at the moment. It's Coaching Professionals is my website, and Sue Montgomery on LinkedIn.
Well, I'll make sure that I put the links to that in all the notes for everybody.
Thank you.
But that was a really lovely discussion. I really learned a lot from that, and you know, it's amazing. I speak to a lot of people that are in the mindset and coaching area, but every time I learn something new and a slightly different angle on something. So it's fascinating to me.
That's good. You did ask me, Darren, you know, if I was going to share any tips.
Yes, I'd love that.
I'd love to do that, if you don't mind.
I was just about to get to the ask. I always ask everybody right at the end,
I'm sorry.
What can you leave us with that will help us in our journey? Because I think that's a really great question, and I think a lot of people can really benefit straight away.
Yeah, okay, probably jumping a gun there.
No, all good.
The one thing I would love to leave with everybody is to notice when you're sitting in judgment of yourself or others.
Yeah.
And if you are, that is a trigger for you to switch and be curious. So if we can have a curious mindset,
oh, I love that.
We actually can't be sitting in judgment.
I love it.
Okay. So that helps us also not to make decisions or react to assumptions.
I love it. Yep. Yeah. And something that a great quote, also an unknown quote, because I don't know who said it, but it's one of my favorites. And it says, replace fear with curiosity.
Yeah, nice.
And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. I think we live in a very judgmental world. I think that's what closes us down a lot, you know. And if we can, each one of us, be more curious and less judgmental, then I think we'll be able to make, you know, have better relationships.
100%. But I'm gonna probe one step further here and just say, obviously, it's important for us to notice when we're in that judgment phase. But yep. How do we make sure that we are noticing it?
That you need to be operating at a conscious level.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the only way of doing it. So you could, there's a few things. If this is something you really want to do, you might be a visual person. So something I say to people is just get your favorite colored cardboard or a colored dot on your iPhone, on your laptop, on your workbook, what you're taking to meetings, on your car steering wheel. Because every time you see it, it'll remind your brain to be in that conscious moment.
Love it. Yep. Perfect.
The other thing is to have some sort of daily reflection. And I know that might sound to some people like, you know, a bit wishy-washy, but science, the data around this is that most successful people, sports people, you know, entrepreneurs, business people, all have some form of daily practice of mindfulness, whether it's a minute or an hour. So if you want to really reflect, I would say just do a daily, where did I judge myself or others? And the more you do that, the more you'll be conscious. So the next time it happens, you'll be able to switch.
I like that. I was thinking that you were saying just go for a walk and just let your mind be relaxed and don't talk to anybody and just reflect on anything. But you're saying no, actually do a log of where did you think you were judgmental during the day and did it serve you and how can you actually prevent that from happening next time?
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's an active process.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, also just setting an intention every day to be curious.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so true.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Well, Sue, thank you so much. That was really, really insightful. And, you know, I've learned a lot, as I always do. That's why I love podcasting so much. But really appreciate you coming on the show. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with or you're good?
No, just a very big heartfelt thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. That was really interesting. And for everybody out there, I hope that you've learned as much as I have. And if you're interested in some coaching, whether it be just to unpack a couple of things in a few sessions or a longer term structure, please get in touch with Sue. And I'm going to put all her links in the notes so you can get in touch with her as well. So everybody out there, have a lovely Thursday. Have a great Friday because I probably won't see you tomorrow, but I'll see you for loads more. But bye for now.
Thanks, John.